Legends were born surrounding the steeliness light, seen in the sky. And we are back. My name is Don Ecker. My guest this evening is Mr. Martin Cannon. And Martin, before we talk about your letter and all that other goodies, including the threat, let's take a couple of these phone calls and see what's on America's mind. We're going to go to Don in Simi Valley, who's joining us on Comcast. Good evening, Don.
Hi. Glad to hear you're still on the air. The last time I heard you were still on Sundays.
Oh, well, where have you been for the last 6, 7, 8 months?
I've been in Simi Valley.
Okay.
I couldn't find you. That doesn't take me. Yeah. What I'm calling about is a few years ago, another radio station, I heard William Cooper. And I've heard, like, pros and cons on this guy. I was just wondering.
You heard what?
Pro and con.
Right.
And I've heard that maybe he's out there doing a lot of disinformation.
Yeah, well, if you're asking for my opinion, it's con. Thanks.
Okay.
Let's go to Greg in Van Nuys on United Artists. Good evening, Greg.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Martin. My question is a couple of things on CNN recently. A few months ago, there was a story from Muskegon, Michigan.
Yeah, right.
And the sighting there. And there was a reporter from the Muskegon Chronicle. And there was who was the other gentleman? Oh, yeah, someone from the UFO Mutual Network.
Oh, MUFON, yeah, Mr. Walt Andrus.
And everything, Larry was treating them both with respect.
You're talking about Larry King.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he was asking them about it, and the reporter was reporting exactly what had happened, just the facts as...
There's no other way to look at it, Greg. Look, my lines are lit up,
okay,
my friend. I got to move along, but
all
thank
right.
you for your calling.
Let
Keep
me
listening.
Say something very quickly.
Yes,
I don't understand why it is Walt Andrus seems to have a positive mania for zeroing in on the worst UFO cases.
Well, he manages to do it all the time, Martin. He did it with Gulf Breeze. This case up in Michigan, although the case itself may be very valid, how can one make these assumptions without having any valid information or proof?
Absolutely.
Okay. Greg, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Let's go to John, who's calling us from Tahunga on King. Good evening, John.
Don, how you doing?
Very good.
You're
What's on your mind?
Best thing on TV.
Well, thank you.
Hey, yeah, I just heard about, you mentioned, you and Martin mentioned China Lake, and I just found a coincidence that I had worked out there on the base, which is the biggest naval land in the continental United States. And I worked out there for a year and a half. And I just found it a coincidence that I had been out there, and you had a previous guest that talked about Clear Lake, and I had been out there working too. And I found it just kind of unusual. I wanted to hear more about China Lake.
Well, now, what's interesting, John, and I hope you don't mind if I mention this, but you yourself have undergone these experiences, haven't you?
Yes, and then there was another coincidence. You had a previous guest, too, had mentioned in between San Francisco and Sacramento, and I had a sighting there and a missing time, too. So I just find it just, it might be a grand coincidence, but that these things keep popping up for me.
Martin, do you have anything to ask? Or
I've done lengthy interviews and have been one of the few researchers to have the chance to read the full-length manuscript of a woman in the desert not far from China Lake. She's had experiences. She's lived there all of her life, and she has had experiences all of her life with being abducted under circumstances that seem strikingly similar to what I'm talking about, mind-control, brainwashing, hypnosis. The abductors were not little gray men or green men or whatever, but they were people in military personnel, in military uniforms. And she says that she was being taken to China Lake and also nearby George Air Force Base. Is this story true? I can't swear to it in court. However, I will say this is a very credible woman. She made a good impression on me. I've talked to some abductees as well as to some alleged mind control victims whom I thought were a little bit goofy, but this one made a very good impression on me. And furthermore, I have to say that her story is at least as good as the ones you're hearing from people like Bud Hopkins. And so I say the China Lake area is one that I would pay very strict attention to. I know that there have been a lot of rather silly and bizarre and unusual rumors involving again, the usual things involving UFOs and gray aliens working underground and so forth. And when you try to track down these rumors, usually it comes down to these people who claim to have worked at the bases and they saw the aliens there. And I don't know what to make of these.
Well, you know, Martin, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that for many, many years now, going on a half a century, that our military, in fact, does have many underground bases. But most people fail to realize why they were put there. It has nothing to do with UFOs or aliens, as far as we know, but they were getting ready to fight a nuclear war.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they had underground bases in Nazi Germany. I mean, that's where they manufactured the V-2.
And they did that to protect it from the Allied bombing.
Absolutely, in Peenemünde as well as in Nordhausen. So, the tradition of the underground base is something that is of long standing in the Air Force, and I did think it was rather unusual that circa about 1986-87 we had these people like John Lear and Bill Cooper come out and make something more of the underground base. Say, yes, these things exist, but they started to really bizarre stories about wars being fought underground between Green Beret units, or was it Navy SEAL units, and
Delta Force.
Yeah, Delta Force and extraterrestrials. I mean, I don't find these stories believable, and whenever you try to get some kind of verification for it, I always think you come up goose egg.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And I'd also like to mention, Don, that I happened to be in your office that one day that you got that fanatical letter, and you got absolutely nowhere with maybe the police or the FBI. And I found that kind of distressing. I'll hang up here, and maybe you gentlemen can talk about some people who are maybe threatening you or doing some things that are very inappropriate.
Oh. Okay. All right, John.
Talk to you later.
You betcha.
Bye.
Okay, Martin, let's go to, I believe it's Streamwood, Illinois. We have Sean joining us on satellite. Good evening, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, first I'd like to find out how you get a copy of Martin's work.
Well, we're going to be giving that information out. As a matter of fact, Martin, I guess now is a very good time to do that. Do you mind if I give the information out here?
By all means.
Okay, the name of the track or the monograph is The Controllers. And, Sean, it's available for $9.95. And for all you folks out there, we'll be giving this out again, also, if you don't have your pencil and paper ready. But the name of it is The Controllers, $9.95, and you can get that by sending a check or money order to Barbara, California, 93121. And if you'd like to call up there during the week, during normal business hours, you can reach them by dial. Okay, was that it, Sean?
Well, one other quick comment. Do you guys think the government is getting sloppy, or they're letting stuff come out on its own? For example, like feeding retarded babies plutonium, the Koresh video with the tank that you were talking about a few weeks ago, with the tank shooting fire into the building. It seems like they're starting to get caught,
Well, it's not that they're getting sloppy per se. The director of the Department of Energy, going back a few months ago, decided for whatever reason that they were going to release these government secrets about illegal, unethical, and outrageously horrific tests that were carried on unsuspecting civilians during the height of the atomic age back in the 40s and 50s. Feeding pregnant mothers plutonium, feeding disabled children plutonium. But no, we never would have mostly known about that if they would not have snitched themselves off. When we talk about UFO, many people think that if UFOs are real, the government, how could they keep it secret? Well, the fact of the matter is the government can keep anything secret they wish.
Right, that's something, I talked to a lot of my friends and, people who work, whatever, and a lot of the skeptics, how could they keep that secret? And that's, nowadays, there's a lot of things you could bring up,
Well, when you look at what was happening, for example, at Allen Memorial Institute, where Ewan Cameron in Canada was doing his research into mind control, absolutely horrible Frankensteinian experimentation, stuff that you can only compared to what was going on in concentration camps, which is doubly ironical because Dr. Ewan Cameron, the head of the World Psychiatric Association had been one of the people to preside over the medical team at Nuremberg. He was part of the judgment at Nuremberg, and he was later on guilty of conducting Nuremberg-style crimes. Well, nobody knew about this. People knew about this at the time. You know, certainly people within the Central Intelligence Agency knew about it. Alan Dulles even wanted his wife to undergo treatment at Ewan Cameron's brainwashing institute when his wife objected too strenuously to Alan Dulles' many affairs. And all of this was going on. Somehow they were able to keep it secret for many, many years until well after Ewan Cameron died. And then finally, the victims of Ewan Cameron started to sue. And even then, there are people who tried to downplay it or tried to claim that the victims were misremembering the event. There's always a way to decredibilize people who are saying things that are against what the government wants you to believe. You know, we have people like that previous caller who say, well, that's only anecdotal evidence. That's what they used to say about Val Orlikoff, for example, who was one of the victims of Ewan Cameron. Well, that's only anecdotal evidence. That woman's crazy. Well, some people did some research, and they found out that Val Orlikoff was telling absolutely the truth, that she really had undergone absolutely horrible tortures under the hands of Ewan Cameron during the 1950s, tortures that were paid for with either your tax dollars or your parents' tax dollars while going through the CIA. Yes, they can't keep things secret.
Absolutely. Okay, Sean, I want to thank you for your call.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Keep listening. Tell your friends about the show.
Oh, hey, I always do. And, hey, Don and I might have a lawsuit heading your way. I kept my eyes to the sky, and I rear-ended someone the other day.
Oh, no. Well, keep looking up. Maybe it'll make you feel better,
all right.
Pal.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Martin, we got to take another quick little break here. And when we come back, now we have more calls waiting, but before I take any calls, I want to talk to you about the letter that you sent us and the fact that somebody apparently ripped off your title and parts of your monograph.
Okay.
Oh, Martin, we have all the lines lit up, but before I go to there, I want to talk about the letter that we published in the brand new issue of UFO Magazine. And basically, you were telling us about your monograph, The Controllers, and apparently the fact that there are other people in the field that are not scrupulous that have apparently ripped this off.
I have found that to be a constant, and to tell you the truth, it's something that has made me absolutely despair of finding very many ethical people within the UFO field. They rip off your manuscripts if you write anything the slightest bit interesting, and it's not happened to me, just absolutely willy-nilly. There is a fellow who goes by the name of John Grace. He had something to do with the military base out there.
Well, he's also known as Val Valerian.
Yeah, he writes under the name of Val Valerian. He also writes under another pseudonym. At present, he's up in Yelm, Washington, and I understand he's confabbing with Jay-Z Knight and the Ramtha people. He puts out something called Leading Edge Research, which is this massive periodical that he apparently makes a fair amount of money off of. And what he does is he reprints other people's material. Well, he doesn't ask their permission. And he reprinted the entirety of The Controllers over a series of issues. And I have to say, I did not exactly like the fact that I was sharing space with, he's also reprinted material from, like, Louis Beam of the Ku Klux Klan. There's apparently some of that right-wing neo-Nazi stuff. And as you know, my politics are, like, way to the other side of the spectrum. So you can imagine how that made me feel. I don't approve of that, of the ethics of a man like John Grace. I don't approve of Timothy Green Beckley. He publishes books under the pseudonym Commander X. I'm told that the Commander X books are in fact written by Timothy Green Beckley, and they're nothing more than a hodgepodge of rumors that are going around in the UFO field at the time. You know, Commander X allegedly is an ex-intelligence officer or a serving intelligence officer who can't reveal his name for national security reasons. It's all hogwash, and those books are all hogwash. Well, Commander X, a.k.a. Timothy Green Beckley, has come out with a new book, and it's called The Controllers. I can't say that he called his book the same title as my book simply because he wanted to capitalize.
Grab some of your sunlight?
Yeah, capitalize upon any, you know, misunderstandings. You know, people, there are people out there who are looking for my monograph because it's rather hard to find. And so when he gets his on the market, you know, there may be people who buy it thinking that it's my work. all I have to say is, you know, I know that Timothy Greenberg Beckley knew that my work existed. If he has the legal right to use that title. You can't copyright a title. But morally, I feel that he should have considered using another title. And I say that it's minor, but we should have some concern for an author's rights, I feel. And more to the point, it's not just my particular wine. It's symptomatic. That sort of thing happens in the UFO field a lot. And I think that ufologists should caucus. They should get together and work together a few rules about how to proceed so that they're not, you know, snarling at each other,
well, you know, Martin,
calling each other names.
I totally agree with what you're saying. However, that would be... It was easier getting the North Vietnamese and the Americans to decide on a table shape for the Paris talks than it would be to get these UFO quote-unquote researchers to sit down and agree on anything. Let's take some phone calls because we've got a lot of people that have been waiting. I've got Ernie calling us from Burbank on Salmons. Good evening, Ernie, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? I have a couple questions for you guys, actually. Two have to do with the way that the government supposedly threatens people who are on the inside with, you know, bodily harm to themselves or their family, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as their reputations and stuff like that go. Well, I was just wondering, first of all, there was a gentleman by the name of Lieutenant Wendell Stevens, I think.
Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah. And, you know, and...
Retired from the U.S. Air Force.
Exactly. And I read somewhere where it said that he had been accused of child molestation?
No, he hadn't been accused of it. He had been convicted of it.
Okay. And I just wondered if something like that might reflect on that whole theory behind, you know, destroying somebody's life. But, you know, the proof of something like that, I guess, would have to be pretty, you know, substantial to actually convict somebody of it.
Martin, what do you say?
Threats like that do exist. However, I would not believe it in the case of Colonel Wendell Stevens.
So should we totally, like, discredit anything that he said about the UFO stuff because he was, you know, convicted of child molestation?
If he says anything that's provable, then of course, you know, it's verifiable through other means. If he's provides you with good investigative leads, of course you should take him seriously. On the other hand, pedophiles don't like to admit what they're doing, and they come up with any rationalization, however threadbare or however bizarre, in order to deny the accusations.
Right.
Colonel Wendell Stevens is a pedophile. I can say that on the air without the slightest fear of a libel suit because it happens to be provable.
Really?
I've talked to a former wife of his. She has in her possession child pornography that was previously in the possession of Wendell Stevens.
Oh, too bad.
And not even mentioning that, but he has been a great proponent of the Billy Meyer material.
Exactly.
Which had been coming out of Europe and Switzerland. And our position on the Meyer material is that at very best, it's highly questionable.
Didn't they find a model or something like that on the property?
Yeah, there have been. The case also may have been manipulated by certain European intelligence agencies.
Right.
So, you know... all these things we've got to look at with the jaundiced eye. Ernie, I want to thank you for your call. We've got to move along, but keep looking up.
Okay, I got one.
I got to go.
Okay.
Got to go. Okay, we're going to Larry in Westlake Village on Ventura County Cable. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening, Don. Thanks for getting to me.
You bet.
I have a couple of quick questions. First of all, I'm from southern New Mexico, and I've seen lots of strange lights in the sky over the years. I lived out in a very rural community about 60 miles from a military base.
Okay.
White Sands Missile Range.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that concerns me about your guest's position is that they've had 40 years of potentially working out mind control techniques. Why would they continue operate under the pretense of abducting people if they've already presumably would have gained the ability to be able to manipulate people and continue to put disinformation out?
Let's ask Martin and see what he says. Martin, what do you say to that?
Because I still think it's an excellent cover story. You have to have... I read... Actually, I believe it was an interview with one of the MKUltra scientists in John Marks' files. It may actually have been Martin Orne, where he talked about the possibility of programming somebody during a period of missing time. In other words, they were actually talking in the MKUltra days about abducting people and then instilling in them, you know, instructions, false memories, things that they were supposed to do. Well, one of the things that the scientist said is that the feeling of having a blank space in your memory gnaws at you. You're constantly asking yourself, well, what was I doing between the hours of, you know, 1 and 2 or whatever, you know, when it's during that missing time. You have to plug something in there in order to plug the hole, in order to, you know, however bizarre the story, it at least causes people to think, oh, okay, that's what was going on. Because the truth will come out. It'll come out in snippets. It'll come out in dreams. It'll come out as visual imagery that, is seemingly unbidden. But
well, Martin, will you not agree also that some of the more prominent abduction researchers have, in fact, admitted that in many cases what they are dealing with are screen memories?
Precisely. But now what I want to know is what's the screen memory and what's the actual memory.
Right.
I know of the one case of, there's a fellow by the name of Castillo who was studied at great length by a doctor in the Philippines, was the head of the psychiatric unit of their version of the FBI. And I found, I have the original official report on the Castillo case, and I found it persuasive. He had five separate personalities instilled in him, five separate screen memories.
That were deliberately placed?
Deliberately induced, one on top of each other, almost like you would place five cards on top of each other. I know that sounds incredibly bizarre. I hope someday soon that Prevailing Winds Research can publish the original documentation that we have on this, so that you'll see that it's actually a far more feasible thing than it may seem at first. The whole point being, how do we know which level of screen memory any particular retrieved story is? You know, when somebody like, not to mention names, but when an abduction researcher does some work on somebody using the technique of hypnosis, he finds a story that he likes, and he concentrates on that. Anything that's not, that doesn't fulfill his preconceived scenario, he dismisses as confabulation. And
you may not use names, but I will, because we use names on this. You're talking about people like Bud Hopkins and John Mack?
Yeah, well, I don't want to... I actually haven't read Mack's book yet, so I'm not going to say anything about it.
I will.
Okay.
I'm still unclear why the whole point of this, if they had the technology. I read in Newsweek that we were considering using this technology against David Koresh.
Yes.
Be the Russians.
But it was Russian. It was Russian
absolutely.
Material.
Absolutely. But we have the technology, so why the cover-up? What exactly is what are they covering up, and
well,
why?
Do you really think that, Larry, our government would want us to know, or the intelligence agencies that are a part of our government would want us to know what technologies they would have available to induce people to do something? One of the things that I hope that we'll get a chance to touch upon quickly, Martin, tonight, is the story of Sirhan Sirhan and the assassination of RFK. I don't know if we'll get to it or not, but there is quite a bit to suggest that he may have been a programmed killer, is there not?
Oh, yes. Edward Simpson Callis, the famous hypnosis researcher, worked with Sirhan extensively. I wish Edward Simpson Callis were still alive, but I visited his grave, actually. But he had found a great deal of information to that effect.
He has been
a victim of mind control.
Let me break in here quickly. Larry, what we're talking about is the government being able to manipulate and control and perhaps program people's perceptions, beliefs. I mean, we're talking about something that would have horrific implications if it were used either incorrectly or with intent of malfeasance. It's bad stuff.
But let me say something else.
Well, look, we are right now at the half hour. I'm going to have to cut you off right now. The lines are still filled up, but I want to thank you for your call.
Okay,
keep listening. Call back, please. And Martin, we're going to have to take a break now, but let me give these numbers out very quickly. If you are in the 818... Okay, we are back. Martin, you know, geez, I can tell you one thing, that the lines are lit up across the board. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to hit everything that I want to hit tonight, and I know that you want to get out. So I'm going to ask you right now, will you come back?
Of course I will.
Okay, good.
I know that you have a lot of callers, and I hate to put them off, but just to answer better, I think, what that last caller was talking about, I have a really brief description from Dr. John Watkins, one of the premier hypnosis specialists in the history of the discipline, asking why they would use aliens as a cover story. What he said was, as part of his research, we behave on the basis of our perceptions. If our perceptions of a situation can be altered so as to cause us to misconstrue it or to develop a false belief, then our behavior in relation to it will be drastically altered. It is precisely in the area of changing perceptions that the hypnotic modality demonstrates its most powerful effects. Hallucinations, both under hypnosis and post-hypnotic, can easily be induced in the suggestible subject. And moreover, attitudes and beliefs can be initiated in him which are quite abnormal and also often contrary to those which he previously held. In other words, people who've had the abduction experience often look upon the aliens as almost a godlike intrusion into their life. Britton Sleeper does that.
Yes.
You make somebody believe like that they're like Joan of Arc, that they've been hearing voices that represent level of reality that is far and beyond what humankind can imagine. And they will act on the basis of that belief. Joan of Arc acted on the basis of that belief. Who knows? Perhaps.
But to look at it from a pragmatic aspect, what it's all about, is it not, is psychological warfare. In other words, how do we disable, disorient, and overrun an enemy with the fewest possible casualties, perhaps on either side? And that is to make them believe that they're already defeated before the battle begins. And you do that through psychological operations. And what better training ground than something along these lines? Would you not agree with that?
I think it's very unusual that some of the people who were feeding Bill Moore information, in my opinion, disinformation about UFOs, turn out themselves to be specialists in the field of psychological warfare.
And people like John Alexander. Now, this is a great time. Before I take any more phone calls, let me very briefly say who John Alexander is. It's very likely that he is the individual that Howard Bloom wrote about, called Colonel Harold Phillips, in the UFO working group that he talked about in his book Out There, that allegedly these people were in fact in the Pentagon. Now, John Alexander was a full bird colonel, was in fact a Special Forces, American Special Forces Airborne Infantry officer, and he was very much involved in the Defense Investigative, or the DIA, Defense Investigative Agency. And he has been involved in UFO things peripherally, along with SciTech, which is allegedly involved in remote viewing, extrasensory perception, and other related areas. Now, Martin, you somehow got on his bad side.
I still don't quite understand it. I had been keeping an eye on John Alexander, primarily because he wrote an article called The New Mental Battlefield for Military Review, which was basically about the field use of mind control and behavioral and perceptual alteration, specifically using psychoelectronic weaponry to achieve these effects. I was a little bit surprised when a woman who was a friend of mine, the former Victoria Lacoste, ended up marrying John Alexander. I had shared a lot of information with Victoria over the years. She was a UFO buff up in the New York area. Well, when she married John Alexander, I decided to break off my relations with her. She was getting very weird on me. She would break off conversations halfway through and say, "I can't talk about that. That's classified." And, you know, I won't deal with that material very often. Although I was getting some good information about John Alexander from her for a while. About 6 months after they got married and we hadn't spoken for a while, Victoria called me up and said, "Martin, as an ex-friend, I have to warn you. John and Hal, that's John Alexander and Hal Putoff, are real pissed off at you, and they've given the situation over to Gordon to handle. Watch out." Gordon, I won't give his last name right
well,
now.
Well, I will. Gordon Novell.
He's a very, he's a...
Gordon Novell, of course, was an individual that former district attorney of New Orleans, Jim Garrison, was investigating, having to do with the JFK assassination.
That's right. And
a very, very good friend of
actually, I think Gordon Novell was investigating Jim Garrison, and there was documentary evidence to that effect, and a letter in Gordon Novell's, written by Gordon Novell, that was found in his apartment. And he now admits that he was basically infiltrating Garrison's organization. Gordon Novell...
Well, what you're suggesting, though, Martin, is that Victoria Lacasse Alexander was suggesting that Gordon Novell was looking for you on behalf of her husband, John Alexander?
No, I should be very clear about this. As far as I know, Gordon didn't know anything about my situation. All I had done was found out from Victoria that John Alexander and Hal Putoff, these two people who were involved with UFOs and parapsychology and all this other weird stuff, that they were associated with Gordon Novell.
Do you have this tape?
Yes, I have it right here.
How about playing it?
Okay, well, here is the voice of Victoria Lacasse relaying the threat just so that nobody thinks that I made all this up. I'm sorry, the former Victoria Lacasse. This is Victoria Alexander, John Alexander's wife. I know this is a complex story, and I hope that the audience is able to follow all this. John Alexander is the head of non-lethal weaponry research at Los Alamos National Laboratory, and very importantly, he was a candidate for Undersecretary of Defense under Les Aspin, and may well still be a candidate for that position. And I was able to confirm through his former commanding officer, General Spurt Stubblebine of INSCOM, that it was, in fact, John Alexander who initiated this threat, which you are about to hear. And I hope you can hear it clearly.
Martin, as an ex-friend, I need to warn you, John and Hal are really pissed, and they're turning it over to Gordon to handle. Watch out.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it came through loud and clear.
Researchers have called up John Alexander, and he says, no, neither I nor my wife threatened Martin Cannon. You just heard evidence on oxide.
Well, I recognize Victoria's voice. Let's go to the phones, Martin, because, golly, we've got a bunch of calls here. Now, for all you folks, when I come to you, because we have so many calls, I'm only going to give you one question or comment only. We want to get everybody on, but we can't linger, okay? So I'm going to go to Ralph and Escondido on Dimension first. Ralph?
Yeah, hi. I've called in the past, and I wanted to call and put up a little defense for Paul from Escondido and for Philip Klass.
Okay.
I read Philip's books, and he's a highly reliable editor from Aviation Week. And I think this last conversation, which just ensued, shows why Klass tries to apply the scientific method to UFO claims.
But he doesn't.
Well, I've read his books. And
so have I. I've read his books, and I know him, Ralph.
In some cases, like the 1974 Ohio Air National Guard helicopter thing, I've never heard it on your show, but it's one of the more interesting.
I'm very aware of that case.
I think in that case, he drifted a little bit. But in most cases, he does, I think, a very reputable job.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal, Ralph.
Okay.
I recognize your voice. You've called many times. You are one of my skeptical listeners. I want to go into this with you in depth at a future time.
Okay?
But I've got to move along tonight.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Ralph.
Bye.
Let's go.
Can I say something on that?
Yes, please.
This has nothing to do with, Phil Klass's skeptical position versus the ufological position. I think even Phil Klass would accept the idea that somebody like me should be able to do research without getting threatened like this. And this is not just some nobody giving the threat. This is somebody who has a very responsible position within the government. And, and he put Victoria up to this. And he was going to be the Undersecretary of Defense. Now, that's not a matter for scientific investigation. That's a matter for, detective work, police-type investigation.
Absolutely.
And I hope somebody out there does it.
Absolutely. Well, Martin, I'm with you every bit of the way with that. Let me go to Gil, who's calling us from Tahunga on King Cable. Good evening, Gil.
Hi. I was just wondering if anybody knew anything in the morning time or right around just about dawn. There seems to be a lot of movement really, really high up in the atmosphere. I can't ever make out what it is. It's just like bright lights. It's just almost like a star has been sitting there all night, and then it just decides to move. Does anybody know anything about if it's military or what it could be?
Without knowing more about it, where exactly you've been viewing it in the sky and so forth, Gil, no, I do not. However, we do have quite a few military bases here in the California, in Southern California. So, without actually viewing this, I would have to suggest that we would have to utilize Occam's razor, which probably the simplest explanation would be the correct one. And chances are, I would guess it is military.
Now, can you see satellites? Are they
sure,
lit up?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they could also be satellites then.
Absolutely, but they move very fast.
Yeah.
Gil, I've got to move along.
Okay,
but
thanks
I want
very much.
To thank you
Bye-bye.
For your call. Okay, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from La Crescenta on Salmons. Good evening, Ray.
Yeah, how you doing? My question is, have you seen any literature on the Blue Planet Project? It's by Percy Galloway.
The Blue Planet Project doesn't immediately ring a bell.
Okay,
Martin,
I'd like to
Martin,
send you a copy.
How did
I? You stumped the panel.
Okay. Martin doesn't know it either. Ray?
Okay, would you like me to send you a copy of it?
What's it have to do with?
Just practically everything you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, of course.
Okay.
You can send it. You can send it to UFO Magazine. Do you have the address?
Right. I got your PO box number in Sunland.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. No problem.
Very good.
All right. I'll send it to you.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling us from Sylmar on King. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Excuse me. Can you please tell me more about the Billy Mayer case?
Pardon me?
More about the Billy Mayer case.
More about the Billy Mayer case?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hoax? What do you want to know?
Yeah. I would have to agree absolutely with Martin. We do not consider that case to be real.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay, well, that took care of that. Let me see. I've got Al calling us from Burlington, Washington on TCI. Good evening, Al.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I was wondering if you had read the April issue of Omni.
Yes, uh-huh.
And what did you think of Robert Lazar's article?
About Robert Lazar?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We've done a number of shows in the past on Lazar and his claims. He's been on this program. Martin, what do you think about it?
I want to know, did he ever have an explanation for that bizarre W-2 form he came out with that said he was getting paid from the Department of Naval Intelligence, a department which does not exist?
No. But you know, there are several different ways to look at that. I do know that the employer's number was valid, Martin. I did some checking through some people at IRS about that. You know, that whole case is extraordinarily bizarre. And would that not be one for manipulation?
Well, I talked to Jacques Vallée about that. He was thinking along those lines. Because, you know, he talked to Robert Lazar, and he asked to Robert Lazar. You know, Robert Lazar claims that he worked on retrieved UFOs, and so Vallée asks Bob Lazar, well, what kind of instrumentation did you use? And Bob Lazar didn't even have any highly advanced instrumentation there. It was the sort of thing you might use at a high school project. On the other hand, that particularly bizarre detail tends to speak for Robert Lazar's credibility, you might say, because somebody who was a hoaxer might have made something up.
Yeah, and you know, one thing about that particular case, Martin, that has always surprised me, his story has never changed in content from day one. He has been telling the same story for about, 5 years now?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still am rather dubious. You know, the whole thing with him running the whorehouse is like... it's not exactly the background you want from an ideal witness.
Yeah, that in an ideal world, you would be absolutely correct.
But then, couldn't that discredit him, like the other individual, the lieutenant colonel?
Oh, sure, and perhaps that was part of the equation. However, let's not forget that in certain areas of the state of Nevada, prostitution is a legal profession. You know, even though we may disagree with it here in California, or in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, or in Burlington, Washington, in Las Vegas, or not Las Vegas, but in Nevada, it is legal.
He was accused of it in, interestingly enough, in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Were you able to find out whether that accusation was true or not?
Well, when he was there, Martin, he had an interest in the House of Prostitution in Nevada.
Huh, but it was there was something called the honeysuckle lotion demonstration, whatever. And
well, that was in Nevada.
That was in Nevada.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Was that it?
Yeah. Also, just about. Area.
Well, one question tonight. We've got a lot of phone calls.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let me see. We've got Bob calling us from Studio City on United Artists. Good evening, Bob.
Yeah. Hi, Don. Great show.
Thank you.
The quick question I got for you is, like, before I went to work this morning, about 6:30 to 7, they had a paid half-hour commercial advertisement for three tapes from this George Knapp called UFO Best Evidence. I wondered if you heard about that.
Oh, yeah. Knapp has been on my program a number of times.
Oh, okay. It was the first I had heard about it, and do you think these tapes are worthwhile?
I think that there is some information on there that if you have a serious interest in it, you absolutely should, you know, you should view those. I've got nothing, you know, to do with those tapes,
right.
But Knapp has done, in my opinion, has done some very good research.
Okie doke, that's my quick question.
All righty, well, thank you, sir. Keep listening.
Thank you, I sure will.
Okay, Bob.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to, let's see, we have Ned calling us from San Bernardino on satellite. Good evening, Ned.
Hi, yeah, I'm somewhere in between skeptic and believer.
Well, that's a good place to be.
What are the satellite entities people are seeking of the Earth, and are they related in any way to the controllers that the man has written about?
I'm sorry, Ned, would you repeat that?
What are the satellite entities, what are the UFO entities, the seeking of the Earth, and are they in any way related to what the controllers are seeking?
Well, I think you'd have to ask the UFO entities themselves, but
thank
unfortunately.
You,
I mean, really, I don't know how you could possibly have any kind of absolute verifiable information for an answer for a question like that.
To begin with, we would have to ask ourselves, do UFOs in fact represent extraterrestrial spacecraft, Ned? Now, I absolutely have no doubt, because I personally have witnessed, that the UFO phenomenon is real. Where I draw the line professionally and personally is, until we have absolutely undeniable evidence, we cannot go on the assumption that they are ET. We can speculate that that may be the most logical, but we don't know definitively. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it seems like we automatically assume that they're trying to harm us or take advantage of us some way.
Well, that's an assumption, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is that a
reasonable assumption?
I think that assumption is every bit as wrong-headed as the assumption that they are godlike creatures filled with love and light. I mean, both of them are just that, assumptions. You don't know that. You can't prove that.
Yeah, so we don't really know what we're looking for.
Well, that's why we keep looking. The trick is to keep an open mind, Ned, but not so open that it becomes a refuse container.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad I happened onto your program.
Well,
I find it very interesting, and I like the subject.
Well, every week from 9 o'clock until 11 p.m. Pacific time, right here on the Cable Radio Network. And for all you folks out there with satellite dishes, or if you know somebody that has a satellite dish, this is how you can tune in. SATCOM C3 transponder 23, audio frequency 7.235 narrow band.
You got it right.
Ned, I want to thank you for your call. Keep
right.
listening and keep looking up.
See you later. Bye.
You bet. Okay, let's see, Martin. We have Ron calling us from Medford, Oregon on TCI. Good evening, Ron.
Hi, Don.
How you doing?
I got the thing for you. We're talking with Phil Klassen right there, and I hate to plug another show, but Art Bell's Dreamland is supposed to have a debate with Phil Klassen and Dr. Stanton Friedman for 3 hours tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Is that right?
That's what they tell me.
Well, I've been trying to get Phil on TV or on this radio show for some time now, and for some reason he doesn't seem interested.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed to get him, but he was on Crossfire, too, Friday, debating with John Mack, Dr. Mack.
Right.
So, a lot of information, UFOs in the news recently, at least on the network.
A ton of it.
That's all I had to say,
Well, I want to thank you, Ron, for your faithful listening every week.
Oh, yeah, you're always number one with me, Don.
Oh, well, thank you. Tell your brother I said hello and keep looking up.
Yep, thanks,
Ron. Okay, Ron. Let's see, Martin, we've got Jose calling us from Sylmar on King. Good evening, Jose.
Hi, I'd like to know more about this One Nation and where this is at.
The what?
One Nation, the base, One Nation.
What do you mean, One Nation?
I heard this base, and I just would like to know where this is at.
Are you referring to China Lake?
Yes.
Well, the China Lake Naval Weapons Facility is in the Mojave Desert.
Okay.
If you know where Edwards Air Force Base, where the space shuttle lands, you know, just keep going. And, my goodness, you can just look on any map of California and you'll be able to find it, because
It's a huge chunk of land that they have all to themselves, and they do a lot of secretive stuff there. It's larger than the entire state of Rhode Island.
And that's a fair-sized chunk of land, isn't it?
Yes. That's one of the major repositories right now for rumors having to do with UFOs and things like that. And you occasionally run into these people who claim to have worked at the China Lake Naval Weapons Facility, and they'll say they saw aliens working underground there. In fact, I talked myself to one such individual, and if I were a less careless researcher, I might have gone out like John Lear or William Cooper proclaiming that all these things are the absolute truth. But frankly, I was quite skeptical about what I was told, and I was wondering whether this guy was sent out to spread this story.
Well, you know, that's something else that I wanted to mention to you in the last few minutes that we have. Somebody that's been becoming somewhat much more visible in the UFO field in recent times has been a man by the name of Michael Lindemann. And some time ago, I was listening to a tape of a radio show that Lindemann had been on describing this very thing out of China Lake, an individual that allegedly had been a construction worker that purportedly saw an alien creature when he was in an area he was not supposed to be. Well, you know, and he claimed he saw this gray. What do you think these stories? Do you give any credence to that, Martin, or do you think that there may be another purpose in spreading information like that?
Well, anything's possible, but I must say that when Michael Lindemann and Ralph Steiner started to come across these stories in China around the China Lake facility, and the many other military installations in the Mojave area, I just sighed and I said, didn't we go through this story once before regarding Nevada and Area 51, as well as the Dulce base? I mean, I've seen this movie already, you know? This isn't even
been
the
there,
sequel.
Done that.
Yeah, it's the remake, yeah.
Hey, Jose, I want to thank you for your call. Okay. Well, you know, Martin, we are down now to just a couple of minutes left here. Let me, incidentally, let me plug your manuscript again. And for all you people, I really highly recommend reading this. You know, it's too early to say exactly what is happening. As much as we would like to believe something, and as many times as the evidence seems to point in a certain direction, we never truly know if that is the final, ultimate place that we're going to be. We've got to keep an open mind. We've got to look at all the evidence. And Cannon's monograph, The Controllers, A New Hypothesis of Alien Abductions, is one of those places I strongly recommend you look. Now, if you have a computer, chances are you may find it on a board that has been dedicated to UFO research, because, Martin, it's kind of been ripped off and put on computer bulletin boards, hasn't it?
Oh, well, what the hell? I mean, who hasn't been ripped off and put on a computer bulletin board?
But this is how you can get the actual monograph. The Controllers is only $9.95, which I personally consider to be quite a bargain. You can send a check or money order to Prevailing Winds Research, to Barbara, California, 931, or give them a call. You might even be able to talk to Martin during the week. Area code 8. You know, we're almost to the very end, Martin. Once again, let me ask you, you will come back?
Of course I will. Let me first of all say, though, that Prevailing Winds Research has been going on for about 5 or 6 years. I only recently joined up. It's not really a UFO-oriented research organization, although they put out a very fine catalog of material having to do with mysteries, politics, the environment, and things like that. If anybody simply wants to read the catalog, and it's larger than most magazines, they can also write to that address. And I think
we're out of time. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Ecker Live.
Martin, you know who that was?
Who?
That was Larry King. He was telling us we are out of time.
Okay.
Let me put you on hold for just a second. I want to speak to you when the show's over.
All right.
Okay, that is it for another week, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight, where each week we explore another fascinating aspect of the UFO phenomenon. Next week is a show you will not want to miss. Joining us next week right here in studio is going to be Dr. William Cohn, and Russ Estes, television producer. And we are going to be looking at and talking about, and this is the title of next week's show, Sociopaths, Hoaxsters, and the UFO Community, or the short title, and you're going to have to tune in to see what this means, Bird Poop. That's right, Bird Poop, the short title. Next week on UFOs Tonight, right here on the Cable Radio Network. Keep your eyes to the skies. We love you, and hey, this is the music. Baby, take my hand. Don't be a little bit.